Hello and welcome to the Aspen Times Arts and Culture Podcast for April 5th, 2019. The Arts and Culture Podcast features our conversations with fascinating figures from music, art, film, literature, theater, and beyond. I'm Aspen Times Arts Editor Andrew Travers, and this week I talked with Keith Mosley, bass player for the String Cheese Incident. The legendary Colorado jam band is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year with a series of new singles and a special three-night run of shows in Aspen this weekend. String Cheese headline a sold-out Belly Up on Friday night, followed by two nights of outdoor shows at the Opry, a new on-mountain music festival hosted by the Aspen Skiing Company at Buttermilk. Each of the Opry shows will feature two sets from String Cheese beginning at 6 p.m. on Saturday, April 6th, and Sunday, April 7th. All right, here's my conversation with Keith, who I reached on the phone at his home in Longmont.
Hi, this is Keith.
Hey, Keith. It's Andrew Travers calling from out at the Aspen Times. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Sure, you've heard how excited people are about this new festival in Aspen and having you guys for two nights outside on the mountain and having sort of all the Colorado contingent of the String Cheese fans descending on Aspen.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be great. Get up there for a little season finale kind of thing.
Yeah. I guess I want to start sort of asking about the 25th anniversary and looking back. How has it felt, and how do you think it's affected sort of the way you guys are approaching performance?
It's amazing to reflect on having 25 years together. It's just incredible that we've been able to keep this thing running, you know, with the original lineup and be in a good place together. And I think we're all really, you know, first of all, thankful that we've been able to do it and that the fans have been along for the ride for this long, and excited about where the band stands. In anticipation of this year, you know, we spent a lot of time in the studio over the last 12 months leading up to this 25th year, cranking out new material, and
yeah,
been kind of trickling that out over the last 6 months, and probably look to package it up into an album, I would guess, before the year's end. You know, we've got a bunch of new stuff out, and
yeah,
are still continuing to release new tunes here as we speak, and got a few more in the pipe ready to come out. So we've been learning those and playing them out live, so we've got new material that we think is as good as anything we've ever written. And the band kind of has a new refreshed energy and excitement for the shows. You know, we're just in a really good place, really happy to be where we are and excited to be getting to play some special shows in Colorado and connect with some of the original fan base.
How do you feel like Colorado shaped you as a musician, whether it's sort of the, you know, the community of musicians here or sort of the lifestyle here? How do you feel like you were shaped by Colorado?
Well, that's a good question. I think all of it, you know, thinking back to when the band started, and we were just kind of ski bums who,
yeah,
were playing music so we didn't have to work any other job. You
right.
know, it was like we were all about the skiing and the outdoor opportunities, the hiking and biking in the summer, and really music was a passion but wasn't a job in the beginning. And it kind of was like, well, how do we, what can I do for work that's going to enable me to continue to enjoy my outdoor pursuits, you know? And when we first started, when Billy and Michael Kang and I first started playing happy hour gigs together in Crested Butte,
mm-hmm,
it was if this great weight had lifted, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to show up and bus tables at the restaurant tonight because I'm playing, you know, this
right.
is great. Can we turn this into a full-time thing? And it had always been a dream to play music, but when it finally started happening, it was really a big thing for all of us. So I think from the beginning, we've been outdoor enthusiasts and really attached to the Colorado lifestyle. We're always, you know, going to festivals, even when we weren't playing them, attending events like Telluride Bluegrass, Rocky Grass, and
mm-hmm,
Lions. You know, some of these sorts of festivals was an exposure to the great Colorado music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we began to play those festivals, it was just an extension of what we'd already been doing, you know. And,
sure,
and Colorado has become super, super activated musically. I have friends in lots of different bands all over the country, and you know, they all say, yeah, Colorado is one of our very best markets.
Mm-hmm.
People come out here for the festivals, for Red Rocks, whatever it is. It's an activated crowd here, and it's exciting to be from here and be a part of that and have a fan base that's rooted here. It's super cool.
Yeah. The Sound Lab seems like it's been really fertile ground for you guys. You know, all these new songs you've been trickling out, you know, sound great, really adventurous stuff, going a lot of different directions. What's that creative process like for you guys these days?
Well, the lab, we have it all set up now, the fully functioning studio and rehearsal space for us. So we've got a great home base. When we come home from tour, we're able to just load our stuff in and set it up, and then, you know, it's ready to go. So we've kind of achieved the goal of having a studio that's ready to record at any time. So rather than the traditional format of, you know, booking studio time and going in and having a two-week window where you're always watching the clock and, you know, the money's ticking away as you play, we're kind of more in a relaxed atmosphere now, and it's really enabled us to experiment quite a bit with different musical ideas, be able to record stuff again without watching the clock and worrying about studio time or paying for it or whatever. And so we really just set aside a bunch of time on the calendar to just be creative and get together and work on the songwriting and the recording process. It's been great. You know, when you're in a band for this long, I think really the juice that keeps you going is being able to crank out good new material. It would be tough to go and play the same thing all the time, you know. So we're excited about the songs we're writing and getting out there, and they've been a lot of fun to play live.
I mean, obviously the fans have been pretty excited about it as well. In addition to the recordings you've released, some of these new songs you've been debuting live, like this, there was this funk song in Las Vegas, I think, that I saw a bunch of people sort of chatting about online. I'm curious, you know, how much of this new stuff are you sitting on, and do you have a plan in place for putting it together in an album, or are you keeping it pretty loose?
Well, you know, looking at the industry, the music industry is more and more driven by the services, Spotify and stuff like that. So, and it's more about songs than albums at this point. So we really kind of shifted towards trying to release music as singles and be able to release them as we finish them. And as a result, we've been able to, you know, trickle out a song or two a month for the last, whatever it is, 6 months or so, or over the last year. I'm not sure exactly how they've come out, but I think we're at a 10 or 12 songs now,
yeah,
that have been released over the last year, with a couple more in the pipeline. And so that's been the typical album process can be kind of frustrating, because you spend all this time writing, rehearsing, recording, and then it seemingly takes forever for the album to come out, you know, after you get it to the record company and they have to deal with their promotion and release and, you know, the production of the whole thing. And this has kind of been satisfying, I think, for the fans and us to release it song by song. It's a lot more immediate, you know. And,
sure.
And it also offers a little more focus maybe on each song than doing the one-time album release. Now, that's not to say we won't try to package these up and release them at some point. I would imagine we would do some kind of album release later this year, although that has not been finalized.
You've also dropped a bunch of these live sets online recently,
yeah,
which is such a gift. It's a lot of fun to listen to those. Can you tell me sort of about that decision? You know, why do it, and how do you choose which shows to put out there?
Mostly that is chosen by our archivist, Larry Fox.
Yeah.
He does a lot of the curating of the live stuff, and it's mostly in his hands, honestly. And I think he's kind of in touch with what shows are kind of fan favorites, ones that get a lot of positive feedback online, and I think that's part of the criteria for which ones they pick.
Sure. I wanted to also ask about sort of doing these multi-day runs of shows, like the ones coming up here in Aspen, where you have two nights and, you know, a lot of the audience. I'm sure, are coming to both. Obviously, a ton of hardcore fans really sort of studying, you know, what you're doing up there every moment.
Right.
I'm curious, how do you approach it in terms of, you know, a set list or in terms of planning out sort of a multi-night experience?
Well, most of the shows we've been booking this year are multi-night runs.
Yeah.
We prefer it. You know, it's great to get to a place like Aspen and set up and be able to be there, you know, for 3 days of shows or the long weekend in Tahoe or Las Vegas or Jamaica, you know, the other places we've been this year for multi-night runs. That's desirable for the band and crew because you get to set up, settle in, get sound checked, really fine-tune the nuances of the sound in the venue and then kind of, you know, check in locally, get out. If it's an Aspen, maybe we'll get out and get some time on the slopes and walk around town and reconnect with some local people, eat in the local restaurants. And so that's always a plus of a multi-night run as well. As far as the set list goes, we'll certainly look at that we're there for 3 nights and won't do any repeats over the run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're up to doing, I think, the last long stretch. We did a 6-night no repeat run last summer.
That's
so
right.
We're definitely up to doing that. And that's approximately 90-100 songs, you know. So
yeah.
We're digging pretty deep into the catalog. Definitely takes some rehearsal on our part to stay up on all those songs. That's kind of the challenge when you make the set list and pull out a gem or two that hasn't been played in a while. It takes a little backstage rehearsal to make sure everyone remembers the parts and, oh yeah, I can turn on this and what's the word? What's the second chorus? And where do we go for the bridge? A little dress up. But that keeps it interesting for us. Just try to stay sharp on the material and try to craft a show experience that's different from the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess following up on that, in terms of keeping it interesting and fun, there was that stretch of years after One Step Closer when the band took a bit of a break and you went and explored some other projects and did some other interesting work. And the narrative has been that maybe, y'all sort of burned out on String Cheese. How do you avoid, getting burned out and, how do you keep it fun and fulfilling?
Well, it is about finding a balance for sure. And, everyone in the band is a little bit different place in their lives as far as family life and kids and stuff like that. So, we work hard at trying to find a schedule that's going to work for everybody where, we all have time to, feel like we're spending enough time at home with the family, so that when we do get back together, everyone's really excited to be there and, is be able to give 100%. And so that coupled with all the writing and the new material, that's what keeps it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Time off. So when you get back to the band, you are excited. And then, being able to be creative with each other and have a bunch of new songs to be able to play out live, really keeps things interesting.
Yeah. Do you feel like you approach shows in Colorado differently? What does it mean to you to be playing like, up here, you're going to be literally the venue they're building is on the bunny slope at Buttermilk. It's, about as Colorado as it gets. How do you approach it differently when you're out here?
I think we all feel really connected to a show like that simply because, again, it harkens back to our earliest days of playing together and playing the ski town shows or shows actually on the mountain, on the ski slope. I think back to playing little tiny club shows in Aspen in the mid-90s, playing things like the Carbondale Mountain Fair, stuff like that, friends' weddings in the area. We've been playing the Aspen area since the mid-90s. So it is, and certainly we'll connect with a lot of friends and locals that we see every time we're in the area,
mm-hmm.
and that's exciting. So just kind of having those hometown roots, it lends a certain comfortableness to the Colorado shows. And, to be playing outside on the mountain when everyone's been out skiing all day, it just feels really familiar. How we tailor the show to that, I don't know. We'll, again, look at trying to do a good 3-night run with no repeats and make sure we hit some old favorites as well as some of the fun new material.
In terms of goals, you know, is there stuff that that you guys haven't gotten to do yet creatively that you want to?
Well, I think a couple of things. One of the goals and things that we've always enjoyed has been collaborating with other musicians.
Yeah.
And that's something that we will continue to do. And, you know, we kind of have an ongoing discussion about, oh, wouldn't it be great to get together with so-and-so, record a song, or have so-and-so sit in. And so that's something that we always aspire to do. You know, looking inward at just us, I think we're in a continual cycle of trying to improve and, you know, listening to our shows and, hey, what's working, what's not working, what can we do better, what do we like about this, how can we sharpen up, how can we get better at jamming together, how can we improve our playing together, you know, so it's a continual cycle of trying to just get better. And, you know, the worst thing we could do would be just rest on our laurels and figure, okay, everything's cool, we're just going to show up and play. That's definitely not going on. There's a lot of focus on trying to push forward with new and better songs and, you know, reach higher heights together.
Great. Well, I'll let you get back to it. I can't thank you enough for this. This was really a blast.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, we look forward to being there. It's going to be great to get out of spring. You know, spring in the mountains is always my favorite time. It's going to be great to get out and play locally for the folks there.
And that's the Aspen Times Arts and Culture Podcast for April 5th. Our thanks to Keith and String Cheese Instant, who play Belly Up on Friday, and the Opera at Buttermilk on Saturday and Sunday. Until next time, I'm Andrew Travers. Thanks for listening.